Amen. I'm good. So, funny. So, got a million things on the mat. I always get nervous when I get up here, amen? And I want to do right. And it's tough because your flesh, you can't help but be flesh, and you see so much. You're driving down a road and you see a car accident. You don't like what happened. You don't enjoy it. You don't want it to happen. But your flesh, you just can't help but just chicken neck or rubber neck or whatever you want to call it just for a second. And you think, what happened? So I'm not as spiritual as Pastor Ryman. It's hard when I get up here not to be in my flesh because I see so much. And I want to say what I see and the way my brain works and the little bit of Bible I know and try to connect it all because I want to help people. I want people to do better and get closer to the Lord. But every time you get up here, it's hard for me. I don't know how it is for some of the other guys, but I get so nervous. I'm like, God, I want to put my flesh to the side. Amen. I don't want to say something that Ken will say because most of the guys that know me know if Ken says it, it can be mean or hurtful or a little hard. Now, the funny thing is sometimes I say what I really believe the Lord wants me to say, and I have the scripture to back it up. The Lord's a little bit rough sometimes.
Yeah. Amen.
But what people do is they get in their flesh, and they think I'm in my flesh, and they don't check it out, and they totally disregard it all.
Yeah.
So before I get into this, just because of Cody and Joan and little Lukey and stuff talking about that, I peeked around, and some people got emotional. Some people were fighting it. It's a horrible thing when a baby gets sick. And like Pastor says, they can't always explain what's going on, and we don't understand why. But no matter who you are, normally when you hear something about a baby, it pulls our heartstrings. If we could use that in our prayer life, that would help a lot. And what I mean by that is Pastor Ryman all the time, and I hate to use him as an example, but he is our example we're supposed to use a lot. Of course, the Lord, I know we're not supposed to compare ourselves among each other. That's not wise, but he's our shepherd. And you watch Pastor Ryman, he doesn't think he deserves to sit in the highest seat. He doesn't think he deserves the best food. He keeps a knife at his throat. That's Bible, if you know your Bible. He doesn't think himself any higher than he ought to think. Years ago, there was a banquet for married couples, and Pastor Ryman was going around serving people drinks and cleaning up after people. Many a time here, people have gone, Pastor, the toilet stopped up, and Pastor fixes it. Pastor puts himself as low as he can, and it makes it so easy for him to have a walk with the Lord that way. Because when you realize you're nothing, which we all are,
right,
it's so much easier to understand things and deal with things. When you think you're a Donald Trump or a Barack Obama, or when you think you're a God, how dare this happen to me? It really messes our mind up because we're not really looking at ourselves. We don't like to. And I know people 40 hours a week, maybe they drive an hour one way, an hour back. Not everyone does. I know a few here do. 50 hours a week work doesn't leave a lot of time, especially when you have to watch the news. You have to watch your TV shows because Wheel of Fortune, we got it, can't miss it. And you got all your little things, whatever it is. Your family gets put to the side, and your Bible gets put to the side. Some people get a little closer and try to do some things with their family, but they still push God to the side.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. We've all got stories. You can find time for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So talking about little Luke, I always tell the kids in my junior church class, when you pray, you can think it in your head. You can speak the prayer out loud. But if you don't mean it in your heart, it's a waste of time.
Yep.
It means nothing.
Yes,
oh, brother, that's hard. You shouldn't say that to little kids. You're crazy. Kids need to realize that it's got to be real.
Yeah.
That if they want a pony or if they want grandma to get better or if they want to understand something, it can't just be a magic word they say. It can't just be a positive thought. That's what the world teaches them. It's got to be a heart thing. And what I'm going to do is, I just had to hit a thing with Cody because it tears me up looking around, seeing people get emotional. And I tell the kids in my class all the time, I say, guys and girls, So-and-so's daddy's locked up. So-and-so's mommy's sick. So-and-so's dog hurt their nail. Whatever it is, if you would pray for that person like it was your situation, your child, your friend, your family member, you'd start praying a lot more and a lot different. And as you start praying more, praying is us talking to God but meaning in our heart. You'd be surprised when that heart starts opening up to God, how you start getting a hunger to get an answer to something. Man, well, preacher said this, or brother so-and-so said this, or maybe this lady said that. What does God say? And start looking. So I encourage you, tonight's prayer night, missionaries, of course, we've got a lot of things going on. Just do your best to be serious about prayer, amen. There's going to be a time where maybe you've never been there, where something horrible is going to happen in your little world, where you think it's almost the end of your world, and you're truly going to want people to pray for you. Are you just going to want them to pray on a Wednesday night? Or are you going to want them throughout the week when they're at their job, when they're with their family, when they're doing their normal things, to stop and give you a few seconds of their time? So if you want that for yourself, I'm going to ask you to give that to others. Because if you become a servant in prayer, it'll change your life, amen. And I'm not going to talk about prayer a lot, but that just hit me, and it's going to kind of go with this. So I've got four pages here. I'm not going to go over all of them this way because I don't have time, amen. But the title of my message is Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. So I'm going to read in Hebrews 13, and then I'm going to hit three stories in the Bible, and I'm going to kind of read through those quickly when I get to each one and just talk about that. So we're going to start in Hebrews. This is my jumping off point here. But really, anything that goes wrong in life, truly, the only way you can get it right is by prayer.
Amen.
No one likes the word repent. It's a negative word. It doesn't make me feel comfortable. It means I have to examine myself and put myself down, because that means I have to acknowledge I've done something wrong. So we're going to start in Hebrews 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. Let brotherly love continue. Oh, let me stop right there. I'm talking about prayer. I haven't even prayed. I'm so nervous. All right. Brother Jim, pray for me in the back corner. Amen. So Brother Jim's right. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. All things would strengthen me. And we are the victor. You're a child of a king. Amen. You can live like the child of a slumlord if you want, but you're a child of a king. It's your choice. So here, let's start Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my help, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. That's a lot there. I'm just going to jump off of that. And I'm going to start off with 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I started thinking about this, and I've been praying about this message for a while. And Dr. Ruckman always put in my head, you know, two big things he put in my head was scripture is scripture. I don't care what Little Earl says. If you can't back it up, scripture is scripture, in context, I don't believe it. I love him. I'll talk to him. That's great. Don't care about his opinion, though. I'm not trying to be rude. I don't care about his opinion. I wonder what this says. So Doc put that in my head, scripture was scripture. And then he put it in my head. I didn't understand it when I first heard it. It took a couple times. But he'd always say, because someone would say, some of our classes, like preacher classes, were really small. There were only a couple guys in there, or for different reasons, to get real personal. And guys would ask a question about something. And Doc would say, well, man, you messed up yesterday, yeah. Did you do your best? No, I didn't. All right, get under the blood. You going to do your best today? Yeah, I think I am. Are you going to do your best tomorrow? Yeah, I will. So what he got that in my head, that we can't control what happened yesterday. I don't want to say the word screwed. I'm trying to change my vocabulary. You messed up. Yesterday, you totally messed up. You bombed it. You messed it up royally. You did so bad, it's horrible. You don't even want to admit it. You want to lie to yourself. You messed up so bad yesterday. That's life. If you messed up that bad, odds are you weren't doing your best. Or if you were doing your best, God wanted to teach you something. So as a Christian, what we're supposed to do is move on from that. But what we do is we kind of get stuck on yesterday. And the world calls it depression. I understand, because I know a guy, he's dead now because of pills, he died. But he took so many pills when he was young, he got a chemical imbalance. Now I think they call it bipolar. He got so bad when he hit his 40s, he needed pills to counteract the pills he used to take just to kind of get his brain halfway normal where he could communicate and function. But I find it hard. When new Christians, especially young Christians, you get Jesus Christ inside of you, how you get depressed. We all get down for some time, for seconds, hours, maybe even a day. You have a cloudy day and a rainy day or whatever. But through prayer and through a relationship with God or Father, man, there's so many things to be happy about. If you have to use little Luke as an example for your own kids, your own nieces and nephews, just to thank God that you're not dealing with that situation yet, that's something. We don't want Cody and Joan to go through anything, but I'm going to use everything they do as an example for me, to encourage me and for me to be thankful. God, I don't have to deal with that with my daughter right now. I'm going to pray for them to get through it, but I can still be thankful that I'm not going through that storm. But I can pray for them as if I was. So I was thinking, all the different stories in the Bible, there's so many. What would people at my church, at Faith Baptist Church, relate to about yesterday, somebody with a past? So let's go to Luke 8. Luke chapter 8. So this is my connection to yesterday. We're going to read a couple verses here. I'm going to start in Luke 8, verse 26. Luke 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, I can never say these words right, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Verse 29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had called him. And when he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven out of the devil into the wilderness, And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also, which saw it, told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and he went back up into the ship and returned back again. Verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And when he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. So real quick, yesterday, this guy had a lot of yesterdays. He goes to Jesus and gets clean. I don't think he looks back. I believe he kept moving forward. He got so on fire, he's like, I want to go with you wherever you're going. You know what Jesus tells him? Stay with your people and tell them all the great things I've done. Doesn't say here the guy cries and kicks and screams, says, no, forget it, I hate you, I'm offended, I'm leaving, I'm never coming back. He does it. He goes out and he does it. So here's this guy, and that we're assuming it says that people bound him in fetters and chains. So people got tired of his sin, and other people were trying to chain him and lock him up because they didn't like the way he was living, things he was doing. Jesus heals him. They couldn't do anything. Jesus heals him. Then they get upset because of their pigs, their swine. And they get mad. They want Jesus to leave. Isn't that funny? I got saved. Started getting better in a lot of things. My family doesn't call as much to do things. That's funny. I think it's funny. But it doesn't bother me. I get sad sometimes because I'm flesh. I'm thinking, oh, we used to have these. But a lot of times it was filth. It wasn't always clean. So I can live with that. I've got a new family, and I've got a new father who loves me more than anything. But I think this maniac of Gadara got clean, and he didn't care what people thought about his yesterday. Because all he'd have to say is, you know what? You tried to hold me back and chain me and help me, and you couldn't help me. Jesus Christ, help me. You got what you wanted. He could throw it right back in their face. I'm doing right now. You can't get mad at me. But the problem is, if he had other issues and addictions, which I don't think he did, but if he had a problem with doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that, then Jesus really didn't heal him. I don't believe that. I believe Jesus healed him and he was done. He was clean. He stayed clean. I'm not saying he didn't mess up. I'm sure he'd been naked. I could preach on some of the devils in here. But he had been naked for a while, living in dark places, like filthy stuff, scary stuff, horror stuff of the devil, spiritual stuff. He was around that stuff because he was possessed. And then what he does is he gets clean and he changes. And he doesn't care about his yesterdays. And when people throw it in his face or get upset, he doesn't care. You know, I was running around naked. I had nothing. I was living with the dead. Now I'm in my right mind. I'm clothed. I'm telling people how great Jesus Christ is. So if you've got something in your yesterday, get it under the blood and try to open your mouth more for Jesus Christ. You'll be amazed once you open your mouth for Jesus Christ and start talking to people and hear other people's problems and hear other people's todays, how your yesterday means nothing anymore. And you can use that to help somebody. Not glorifying sin, but you can reach other people who need help. So this maniac was a yesterday, and I believe until the Lord took him home, he did what he was told. Amen. So let's go over to Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians here real quick. Josh, you're going to have to throw something at me. I can't see the clock. So I got to find Ephesians. So let's go to Ephesians 2. I'm just going to read two verses for this. Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 12. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I remember my yesterday. I don't want to remember all the filth, but what I hold on to is the feeling of not knowing where I'm going to go when I die. I don't have that anymore. I can sit there and have a bad day, be in debt, have bills, things not be going perfect, and someone can appear and sing, or a preacher can preach, and I just start thinking, man, I used to not know where I was going when I die. I was 27 years old when I got saved. The greatest day of my life. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. If your yesterdays are bothering you and you're still having trouble repenting about it, just start thinking about where you're going to spend eternity, amen. That should be enough to make you want to do a backflip. Amen. Or even smile once in a while in church. But, all right, let's talk about today. So let's go over to Joshua 24. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Joshua, pretty tough guy. Not this Joshua, sorry. I didn't say buttercup, amen. So, let's go to Joshua 24. Read the whole book of Joshua when you get a chance. He did a lot of awesome stuff, but he got his yesterday under control. And here in 24, let's start in verse 14. 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Egypt's a type of the world. Let's look at 15 and we're going to read a little more. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people throughout whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord, see the if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. So here, Joshua's telling the people, you're not going to do right. You're not going to serve God. Oh, we want to serve God. You want to follow the gods of the world that you left of yesterday, or you want to follow the gods where you're living now and do the things that the world does. Dress like them, talk like them, watch what they watch, do what they do. They're saying, no, we want to serve God. Amen. He says, well, do it. Amen. That's what you can do today. You can make a decision today. God, is this right for me? Is this wrong for me? This book will tell you a lot of that if you open it up. A lot of what you need to know. This book tells you everything you need to know. Now, if you need to buy the Green Giant green beans or the Walmart green beans, pray about it. That's what it comes down to. Are you serious enough to pray about it? Not just say it on a Wednesday night when your friends are here. Not just tweet it or post it or whatever it is because it's cool to do. It's so funny. I don't always mean to get on Facebook, but everyone says how much good can be done from it. I challenge anybody here one day, and you come over to my house, we'll look at your Facebook. We'll go through every single post and every single person you have connected to that post. Let's weigh the good versus the bad. I know this world's a filthy place. And I know people mean it and well, hey, brother, your mom and dad, what are they doing? How are they? How's your neighbor? I want to pray for your family. Tell me everything. That's all the devil, amen. And I love it when Christians come, because who would imagine someone would come to me and talk about Facebook? I've had people come up, well, a lot of people use it for good. They quote one verse, half the time it's on King James, but all their family and all their friends post all this vile, filthy stuff. Well, brother, you can't see my Facebook because these other people put bad words on there. They put bad music on there. And I don't want to see it, but why would you want to see it? Yeah. Why would you want to see that little bit? There's little shots. They get in, they get in, they get in. So my question isn't if Facebook is right or wrong, if TV right or wrong, is overeating right or wrong, any of that stuff. My question is, what does God want you to do? You don't know if you haven't asked him. You don't know if you haven't looked in his book. So there are people that have been saved a long time, never read their Bible through. Oh, it's too hard. It's so hard. It's not easy. But if you can read, I mean, it was written for a sixth grade education. A third grader can actually read it. A third grader will struggle with a couple of the words like I just did. But that's life. Just struggle through. There's maybe 100 words, 200 words that are tough to understand. But you know what? You're not going to understand it the first time. You're not going to understand it the second time. The third time, you're going to start picking some things up. And then you're coming to church regular, and preacher's preaching, and you're thinking about this verse you read in this chapter or this book, and you don't understand any of it. And Pastor Ryman's up there, and he preaches, and he says something, and a light goes off. Whoa, I just read that, and now he just connected it all. That was God because of your faithfulness today of doing something. So yesterday was a mess. You got under the blood. The problem most of us have is today. We use the excuse of yesterday for today. But today you have a decision to make. Some guys, remember, I talked to them. I said, look, your decision. We were talking about Jesus one day, a couple of us. We were looking at some verses. I said, it comes down to this. You have to believe Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, or he's a drunken, perverted Jew who's a liar who deserves hell himself. I'm not being mean or vulgar. But it comes down, it's that simple. Either what he said is true or it's not. If it is true, learn to rightly divide scripture with scripture. It's going to take some time and some study. You can figure it out. Or forget about it. But stop faking it. Stop being a wolf in sheep's clothing and pulling other people out. Stop getting other people to go into your sins because you're lonely and need a friend. If you're going to be serious and do something for the Lord, start doing something, amen? Do it today. Yesterday, you didn't do enough yesterday. You messed up yesterday. Yesterday was horrible. Forget about it. God, I'm sorry. Don't just say it, but mean it. God, I really messed up. God knows. He knows your heart. Once you do that and you get it clean, boom. All right, Lord, now today, help me. Help me go on today. So I've got a... two sections here real quick for this, and I'm going to move on. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8. The biggest thing I see here is people holding on to their yesterday. Now, a lot of time, it's the sin of yesterday is the excuse why they can't do right. Sometimes, it's the righteousness of yesterday that's enough that they don't need to do anything today. But let's look at Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Okay, maybe you're not called to street preach. You can definitely pray for the ministry. Maybe you can go down there and hand out a tract or hold a sign. Just try it one time. Because, honestly, in this area, no one's ever been shot or killed for street preaching. You might get called a dirtbag or a loser. A lot of you, just like when you're, you know, at home, it's not going to be any different. You'll be okay. You're just going to ignore it and move on. But it's amazing sometimes when you give somebody a tract or you hold up a sign, not only can that person get saved and you're giving them eternal life if they accept it, but it's amazing to see the response of the world. Well, hold on a minute. If I was talking politics with you, if I was talking TV with you, if I was talking sports with you, you'd be my best friend. But I'm, in my own way, the best I can, sharing the love of Jesus Christ, telling you that he created hell for the devil and his angels. You don't have to go. It's simple. A childlike faith can get you to heaven. But they're mad at me. I'm not even that mean to them when I'm witnessing a street preacher. I'm trying to be loving and nice because it's a serious thing, and I want them to get saved. Sometimes when I witness to people, I get hard and I say some tough things because they're idiots and they've already got their mind made up. But a lot of times, my tone drops a little bit. I smile a little more. I try to tell them some happy, positive things. That's what the gospel is. There's a lot of negative. But I'm going to heaven when I die, amen.
Amen.
So, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Lord, I've got to do something today. I want to do something for you. I'm afraid to open my mouth. I'm afraid to hand a tract out. I'm going to put a tract in my pocket. I'm going to hide one in my wallet. I'm going to leave it on a counter. I'm going to leave it on a table. I'm going to leave it on a shelf. I'm going to open my mouth for you. I'm just going to say, amen. Whatever it is, what's the worst that's going to happen? The Bible tells us that whatever happens, no matter how bad it is, tomorrow's going to be better. I'm going to heaven when I die. So let's look at Romans 8, 36 through 39. We're just going to skim this here real quick. Romans 8. Start in verse 36, and we'll just read a couple of verses here. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. A lot of us don't understand love. It's perverted the way the world does it. Our families don't do it. Parents mess it up. Kids totally destroy it. They don't understand love. They don't understand charity. You got to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out until you read this. Once you figure out what charity and what love really mean, man, it changed your whole outlook. God, I'm nothing. And I'm not trying to be humble. Just like Pastor Ryman, he believes he's nothing. He's a nobody. You know how easy that is? Because once you get realistically the pecking order that you're on the bottom and God's above you, if God puts somebody over me or has somebody rebuke me or has somebody teach me or has somebody do this to me, God, if that's what you want, I'll take it. Amen. So let's talk about tomorrow. And then we're done. So let's flip over to Exodus 8. I'm not even going to give them a cross reference. I'm just going to read this and give one verse and we're done. So Genesis, Exodus. Couldn't find it. So Exodus 8. I'm going to start in verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, but ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and his servants and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. Pharaoh made a decision that tomorrow he wasn't going to do right. It's a big problem. God, I want to do this tomorrow. I might do this tomorrow, but I want to do right. Just that's enough to get help from God. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh had already decided, don't tell me, I'll tell you. I don't care what that stupid book says. I don't care what that stupid preacher says. I know better for me, and the guy I watch on TV knows better for me. And my friend on this thing knows better for me. And this person makes me feel good. Don't tell me. That's fine, Pharaoh. Your heart's hard. It doesn't have to be that way. It's a choice. You've got to make a decision. So back in Hebrews 13, I wasn't going to go into 1 Peter to talk about being born again and how excited and all that is, but I'm not going to go into that. You guys can read it later. But back in Hebrews 13, it says in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Tonight's prayer service, amen. We have missionaries that have given up everything to go foreign fields to witness to people. We have people here that go out and do their best to witness to people and bring people in. We get in a rut. We messed up yesterday, and we get in a rut. I would ask you guys just consider praying and ask the Lord to forgive you for your yesterday and help you with the day, because we know the worst case, tomorrow is going to be great for us. Oh, brother, you don't understand. I got this test. I got this job. I don't care. It's going to get better. And I'm not trying to be a Joel Osteen. I know where I'm going when I die. I started reading a book someone asked me to read, and this guy's all messed up on his doctrine. But he gets stuck with one word in the Bible, the word elect. And he thinks it means, whenever you see that word elect, it means the body of Christ or a Christian. He's totally taken out of context. It's messed up his whole doctrine of the Bible. Because every time he sees that word, he messes it up. Because it fits what he wants it to fit. When we go to this book, it's not supposed to be what Pastor wants, what Brother Ken wants, what Doc or Hoffman want, what Schofield wants. It's supposed to be, God, what do you want? God, what can you give me? And it's so simple. The way of the transgressor is hard, amen. And don't get me wrong, the Lord chastens him who he loveth. The Bible says that. It's clear. God's not a sissy queer walking around with a guitar smoking dope. You watch enough TV, that's what you're going to think. God's not a magical dreamer that's going to give you all these positive dreams to make you feel so happy and wonderful inside. That's not Bible, guys. We can't make a God in our own image. We have to know the God of the Bible. It's not what we think. It's not what we feel. It's what our final authority, what the words say. Ryan could get up here and say something as law. He might believe it. But if you go to him with a book and say, brother, I disagree, let's talk about it. He might get in his flesh for a couple seconds, but he's not going to pull out a gun and shoot you. You start pulling out your swords, iron sharper than iron, and you study. And if he's wrong, he'll say, man, I screwed that up. I'm wrong. I messed that up. I'm wrong. I just messed that up, amen. So I was trying. That's right. There's always tomorrow, amen. Amen. All right. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord. I just thank you so much for forgiving me, Lord. So much you've forgiven me for, Lord. I thank you that my yesterdays are forgiven, Lord. As far as I know, Lord, they're all under the blood, Lord. If there is something, Lord, that I haven't got clean, I ask you please to bring it to my attention, Lord, and help me to get it clean, Lord. My church here, Lord, I love these people so much, Lord. We could do so much in this community, Lord. We could do so much for you, Lord. Amen. And I truly believe, Lord, a lot of us have a desire to, Lord. There's just so many silly little things holding us back. And the biggest thing is us. Please, Lord, help us to get right. Help us to get clean. Help us to want to stay clean. Whatever happened yesterday, Lord, help us to get under the blood and help us today, Lord, to make a decision, Lord. We're going to follow you and do more for you, Lord. We know tomorrow is only going to be better. Again, Lord, I just love you and I thank you for all you've done. I ask you to be with the prayer service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me do prayer.